It's May the 21st, 2010. I'm Mike Benedetti. This is 508, a show about Worcester. Also on the show today, Brendan Malikan.
Good morning.
And via cell phone, a mystery guest whose identity will be revealed later. Today, we're at the, what do they call this, the Split Rock?
I guess so. I don't know what their official name is. We should yell down to the Novik, see if
hello!
It's just a giant boulder that's been split in half.
Do we know what split this boulder in half?
No, I have my son working on that right now. So far, we've focused in on either a giant or dinosaurs. Could be the only things possible that could have possibly smashed this. But I'm sure it was probably something more natural.
And this is, right now we're in the Cascades.
Yes.
We're in the piece of land known as the Cascades, where there was a moose sighting last month?
Apparently last month there was an adult female moose sighting, which is a rarity in Worcester to have a moose that is not actively being pursued by the police department.
This isn't a street moose. This is a moose in the woods.
This is either suburban or rural moose, and it's somewhat natural habitat.
It's a beautiful day today. We've had so much good feedback from so many people over the last 2 weeks, and today we're going to disappoint all of you. Because is there anything happening this week that we need to talk about?
I don't know. I don't really know. Not really.
All right. Well, I can tell you about my weekend.
I'd love to hear about your weekend.
Okay. So last weekend was the start on the street. This is the Park Avenue or the Main Street, North Main edition.
Yes.
And I was working two tables in the nonprofit section. Mm-hmm. And it was super windy over there by the AT&T building there on Main Street.
It was windy down there. Just walking around, it was every time you passed the tent, it would seem to be lifting up.
Oh, yeah. Everything was just flying around everywhere. And what was your impression of that event?
I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was one of those things that it was nice to see Main Street shut down for something. I kind of wish we would have like all of our parades and whatnot on Main Street and pretend that we're actually into the stuff and whatnot. Even like St. Patrick's Day and Columbus Day. Put everything on Main Street. Shut it. It's nobody's down there anyways, right? So just shut everything down. The Abbey seemed to have a great thing going. Dr. Gonzo had, music playing outside of the street musicians that were there. It seemed to fit in nicely with the little community, the little business community that's growing down there rather organically. And both kind of continue to expand.
I actually saw at the FYC booth, I haven't followed up on this, they had Alec Lopez shirts.
Oh, really?
Why? What is this?
I don't know.
It was very strange. Anyway.
Oh, maybe were they from his birthday party?
They could have been.
Were they white with green print?
They just had like a line drawing of his head.
Oh, I don't know. That's something new.
They just had his head. I don't even know if they said the word Alec Lopez on there.
They were just for fans. Hey.
People who missed the birthday want to pretend they were there. Yeah, it was a good event. It wasn't super packed like the Park Avenue one. And I guess what they had planned for, they had expected it not to be super packed.
Yeah.
I still don't understand why it wasn't. Actually, I talked to people, including one person who had displayed at the previous one. Because I had gotten a face painting there and then went through the rest of my day.
Did you at least do the favor of shaving before you did that?
No. I had the dragon and everything on there. And then I was just going through the rest of my day like, oh, I have a dragon on my face. And people were saying like, what is the deal? And I was like, oh, it's the art started in the street today. And they're like, really? And it was like all these people who I basically expected would know didn't know. So maybe this whole spring thing is still throwing people off.
It's the weather is throwing people off. But there's something else too that where I think we talked a couple weeks ago about the public safety meeting that we had up here and how like we have got a large number of people in Tatnik who are afraid to leave Tatnik Square.
Yes.
We're asking a lot of people that are afraid to go out into Tatnik Square to come down to Main Street. So baby steps. Park Ave is kind of easy because half of Park Ave is still on the west side. The other half, the other side of Park
Gets a little,
the curb is
gets
rough,
a little questionable.
Main Street, that's wholly on the other side of town. So,
yeah.
Baby steps.
I could talk about crime in Tatnik. I've seen so much crime in Tatnik the last 2 months.
Yeah.
A lot of people cutting pedestrians off, not stopping at crosswalk, cutting pedestrians off when there's a walk signal.
Mm-hmm.
Ton of it.
Yeah. Well, we definitely have a jaywalking problem out in Tatnik Square as well, too, from the automotive perspective.
Yeah, but that's like a $1 misdemeanor. This cutting people off in the crosswalk, this is like a serious moving violation.
That's true.
You could even call that attempted kidnapping, something like that. Anyway, one other thing I would talk about. Oh, so we actually got, I put on the Facebook a couple people basically saying what's going on in the city this week. I challenge you to name something. And Joe Hungler wrote and said, we could talk about the other group of immigration protesters, and also that over 400 teens attended tonight's youth summit to connect them to positive activities for the summer to prevent youth violence. Another thing I did last weekend is go to a barbecue down off of Belmont Street.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this group, Youth in Charge, who were, I don't know if you remember Janisi, how do you say Janisi's last name? Janisi Nyamike, who was on a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And she's part of a group called Toxic Soil Busters, and they do this thing where it's like a youth-led thing. There's a couple of adults helping, but it's mostly these kids doing the thing where they go and they test people's yards. They find people's yards that have too much lead. Uh-huh. They come in and they solve the problem with landscaping, the power of landscaping.
Sure.
There's another group, spin-off, kind of a franchise called Youth in Charge.
Uh-huh.
Even more militant youth thing, maybe, from the name. And they had finished their first yard. And it was awesome. And it was just great to see like a bunch of kids from the neighborhood, basically. I think they're based out of Plumlee Village, these kids. And or youths, or whatever you want to call them, young people.
Yeah.
I don't know what you could call them that they wouldn't find kind of patronizing.
I think kids find just about everything patronizing. The kids, all that's right. Even worse, right?
Well, I'm gonna patronize you and say you guys did a great job. And also it was a fun barbecue. And it was just cool to see like something. It was just cool to see like these guys do something. I tell you, I was not doing any lead safe landscaping when I was in junior high or high school, so I'm pretty impressed.
No, I mean typically, I think the conventional wisdom is you're not supposed to let young people around lead.
Yeah, well, there you go. And these they take all the safety precautions and everything. They know what they're doing. Oh, actually, do you know much about the history of the lead problem in Worcester? Because I was thinking that with all this, you know, all the lead abatement that the city's doing, mm-hmm. that basically this generation of Worcesterites should be significantly less brain damaged than the previous couple of generations, right?
We have a very bright future ahead of us, or at least
and
a
this
very
could
bright
explain.
Decade.
I think this could explain a lot. Watch the city council meeting.
This is, well, it's two things. We have a lead problem and a lack of fluoride in the water. It could, I mean, the problem, all of Worcester's problems actually could be right there in front of us.
We have too much fluoride or too little fluoride?
We don't have any fluoride.
Really?
No, that was years ago. We decided that fluoride, as a city, we decided that fluoride was a giant communist conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided not to put fluoride in our water.
Maybe that's why it tastes so good.
We have delicious water, but not the greatest teeth in the world.
Well, I wanted to get on to our special guest here. We have a couple of more actual Worcester things we're going to talk about, including the In-City Times. But first, our special guest, Bruce Russell, the Snow Ghost. How's it going?
I'm pretty good. How's it going, you guys?
Pretty good. So Bruce is the most mental of all metal maniacs, and we thought he would have him on here to comment about the death of Ronnie James Dio this past weekend. We talk about Dio more than probably any other heavy metal guy in the show because Worcester's police chief's, fire chief's last name is Dio, and so we just get a kick out, especially that great Tenacious D song.
Has anyone looked into maybe a relationship, or is that a stage name?
Bruce, what is Ronnie James Dio's last name isn't Dio, right? Or
no,
wasn't it was like Pad? You said it was like Padova or Padmova or something.
Yeah, something like that. It's an Italian name, so
maybe and Chief Dio's his name is a stage name too.
He named himself after Ronnie James
Dio. Yeah.
So Bruce, why should we? What should Ronnie James Dio mean to us as Americans and people from Worcester?
Well, yeah, he's a great performer. I mean, I think there's a lot of people here probably enjoyed him. It was actually. I mean, I think people's gonna. I think people here should know that who he is and who he was and what he brought to a lot of people. I mean, he was not just a great guy, but he was just a great performer. I mean,
and people will know Dio from Rainbow, Black Sabbath,
Elf.
Okay, the band. There's a band Dio, right?
Yeah, the Elf was actually his first thing he did, though.
Elf.
Yeah, that's like a 70s, more 70s. That was actually his first two albums he did, so I don't know exactly how many albums he did, but I think he only did one before he got into,
doing Rainbow or something.
Yeah.
And what was his contribution to metal?
Who deals?
Yeah.
I just think after he left, after he got retired with Richie Blackmore, he just decided to go and form his own group called Dio, so that was more of his soul thing anyways.
You think that was the contribution, really, was the post-Blackmore stuff?
Yeah.
Well, so I wanted to ask you, one thing I really love about Dio is that Tenacious D song, Dio. You know, Dio has rocked for a long, long time. Now the time has come to pass the torch. Do you think that Dio? Yesterday I saw on Facebook. There's a Facebook group called I refuse to believe that Dio died of cancer. I believe he was eaten by a dragon. And I wanted to know your personal belief. Do you think that Dio passed his cape and scepter on to someone else before he died?
No, I think he's gonna hold on to someone before afterwards. Because I mean, he was already gonna. Because I know Evan Hill was already going to plan on doing some European dates or summer festivals this summer, so that was back like 2 months ago.
So you think he had it at the moment of death?
Yeah.
Do you have any sort of like Egyptian Book of the Dead, Tibetan Book of the Dead type theory of where that metal power goes, if the holder holds it at the time of death?
I think he probably took it to the grave with him. I mean,
he took it to the grave.
Will there be a Ken Burns documentary?
No, because Ken Burns only does documentaries about things that are boring. Civil War, baseball, old timey New York. Bruce, thanks for being on the show, man.
There's one last thing, man.
What's that?
Well, Dio was actually Italian for God, so.
And he kind of popularized the devil horns too, right?
Well, his grandmother did it because she wanted to invent the whole the devil horns, but what's called them a maloik. Do it for two things. When you do it, you can actually give the evil eye.
Yeah.
Or you can peel off the evil eye. So it works that way. This is like a superstition that's been around for many hundreds of years.
Well, Bruce, thanks for being on the show to talk to us about Dio, to give him a proper send off.
No problem.
Always a pleasure, sir. There we are, Bruce Russell, the Snow Ghost. We also got via the internet, via the Facebook, somebody saying that we should talk about the budget. Tracy Novick says, the Worcester Public School budget. Hundreds of people showed up at the city council and booed and cheered this week. Also, a girl in Northborough who became a finalist in a Google sketching competition.
That is awesome.
And she says this is your family's high school?
No, it's my family built a high school back in 1743. No, the middle school in Northborough was named after my father a year or so before he retired. That's where he started teaching.
Do you get free stuff from that middle school because of that? Do you get to like audit
resident.
Classes?
Maybe if I was a town resident, but right. I could like, you know, sunbathe on the front lawn free of charge or something like that. I get no perks. But there's a girl there who entered a contest that Google was hosting. I hadn't heard of until, you know, they got to this round of voting on it. But little doodles that they have on the front page, splash page of Google that are above the search bar, they have a contest for four different age groups of students to come up with their own doodle that's kind of like describing what they would like the world to be like. And this girl at the Melican Middle School out in Northborough has won the latest round of voting. I think there's only one round of voting left on it. It's like it's up there between her and like six other students in that age range now. And the prize is ridiculous. It's like a $25,000 $25,000 worth of hardware for the school and $15,000 cash for the school.
Wow.
If she wins, for just like a really cool drawing. But yeah, Google. I mean, they seem to be really actively picking up the slack of where Apple left off in terms of, you know, providing resources to schools for relatively trivial matters and what have you. But the whole town is really excited about this girl. The girl is like, it seems like she's going crazy over it because apparently she didn't realize that there was like money involved.
She was just like, oh, this will be a fun thing.
Cool drawing, right? Like, yeah. That's a nice idea. And she, you know, she's an amateur artist and or budding artist. And that's a, but no, so apparently she's heading down to D.C. for the final round of voting and we're wishing her luck. So if you find, Tracy Novick has it on her Facebook page. If you can find that, vote for her. Because it'll be really great for the schools when the schools are hurting.
We should have brought a laptop today. It's a very credible looking drawing. I'd like to be able to show it to people.
You keep looking over my shoulder. Is there a moose sneaking up on us?
No, there's. Okay. You have a cobweb already growing from your hat.
Really?
Right up on this side.
More exciting than anything that's happening in Worcester
this
week.
There's spiders attacking. That's right. There's spiders attacking us. All right, so... You want to talk about,
if we wait here long enough, woodpeckers will show up.
We could talk about the In-City Times. We could talk about something boring. Let's talk about the In-City Times. So I actually had somebody come up to me at a party last week. A part of an interesting demographic of people who get their news about Worcester through the internet are very interested in doing this and could not figure out what was going on with this In-City Times thing. They felt like it just sort of blew up out of nowhere, which I guess it did. And based on my description last week, still didn't kind of understand. So I don't even know if we want to recap this confusing.
No.
It's basically this confusing story about the In-City Times on their website, advertently, I think, slandering one fireman and inadvertently, everyone agrees, slandering another fireman, Dio.
Yeah.
A columnist at the Telegram Magazine calling for a boycott of the In-City Times over all this, basically saying the advertisers and public officials who contribute should not do that. Late last week, actually after we did this show, Nicole, who's a Worcester blogger, has been very critical of the In-City Times down through the years. Actually, is there any Worcester blogger besides myself who has been effusive in praising the In-City Times?
No.
And I have even been critical.
I don't, you know.
You, of course, have been you know, you're
I'll
like
get lawyer calls.
Your screeds against the Inner City Times are definitely up there in Google when you search for them.
Really, they're fair. They're fair and balanced. They're, no, I can't think of many people who. It's That's one of those interesting things where, you know, like, on this story on the Inner City Times, like, there are all these letters that are coming in, right, from people praising Inner City Times for its wonderful reporting and the value that it adds to the city. I'm always shocked to see that stuff because there's names attached to them. They're not names that I ever recognize, but so they could be totally made up people. But yeah, I'm oftentimes more surprised to find people who think Inner City Times is a great thing. Like, I think all of us agree, because we've said it ourselves here on the show, that there was at least a point in time where it filled a valuable role in the city. Like, maybe the closest we had to actual alternative journalism. But, you know, then it's always towed the line of insanity at the same time. And then it seemed to totally jump over that line and what have you, and it lost all of its value in terms of journalism, especially alternative journalism. But there seem to be a lot of people who still think that it is, like, that's where you get the real news. Like, which I think it goes back to what we were talking about, lead paint and fluoride.
Yes.
Is that, you know, we do have, like, an insanely cynical and apathetic city. And there is a
And you're saying possibly a brain damaged city.
And possibly a brain damaged city. And there's a population that actually thinks unless you're calling out, unless there's a conspiracy afoot, right, it's not news. Which is just absurd. I mean, there's more to journalism than outing everybody as a part of a larger criminal conspiracy unseen to the masses.
All right. Well, to get back to the thing here. Nicole Wusterbauer has been very critical of the Inner City Times, especially critical of the fact that this whole slandering firemen thing basically came about through extreme sloppiness, and the follow-up responses posted to their website were also characterized by extreme sloppiness. And I guess she was critiquing spelling errors and, you know, misspelling people's names in the context of blaming them for her misspelling other people's names and sort of outrageous self-parody kind of stuff, and had posted screenshots of the article. These were, like, incredibly hard-to-read JPEGs of the article, but sort of because the problem is the Inner City Times actually does correct these things over time. I mean, some of these errors will persist for weeks, but some of these errors will get fixed within a day. And so just sort of saying, like, here's, like, the article as first published, you know, as a response to the criticisms you've slandered firemen is, like, another totally sloppy, right, crazy article. And the Inner City Times on their website posted that they were going to sue or threatening to sue this blogger for copyright violation for having posted entire screenshots of an article, which was, in fact, entirely sloppy. But I guess these were later redacted to being smaller screenshots of only a few of the most egregious errors. Anyway, I thought that was kind of obnoxious to... to sue your critics for sort of half-assed copyright claim.
We've walked down that line in the past, or at least I have, and you came along for the ride to a certain extent. And we kind of did the same thing, or I did the same thing when that happened with Rose, was just play ball because it's not worth getting wrapped up in that kind of crazy. And the problem, though, it's funny watching it from an outsider though with Nicole. That isn't even a takedown notice that what Rose put up on her website. Like, I mean, that's not how it works. Like, if you actually have a legitimate copyright claim, you have to cite the copyright law that's been violated. You have to, you know, there's an explanation process, and it also has to be like a letter. You can't just put a note on your LiveJournal page and say, I hate you for taking my stuff. And that's essentially what Rose does. I mean, she seems to have the most perverse notion of copyright in town. Maybe related to lead paint and the lack of fluoride. But, you know, even having that perverse notion of what copyright means, she doesn't actually go through the motions of trying to explain how she feels her right to copy has been violated in the first place, which, you know, just defeats the whole purpose of copyright. It's not... The idea of copyright isn't that, like, you own everything that you create, right? I mean, there's always going to be fair use channels for everything. And the most interesting thing, part of fair use, is that most of those fair use channels have never even been played with in courts of law, right? So most of them are just theoretical. So you can't just be that vague to say, hey, you copied something of mine, now take it away. That's dumb, because every person who's ever looked at something that Rose has on a website has also copied her material, right? Because it's cached in their web browser.
That's the digital thing, right? Exactly. Every time you look at a web page, you've made at least one copy of that on your computer.
But this is, of course, a person who went on Jordan Levy's show a couple weeks back and said that she never actually published these stories because they were only online. Apparently, Gutenberg needs to be involved for something to actually be published. You know, there's a disconnect between the way things are and the way in this one person's head the way the world works.
I don't want to get too much critical about the Inner City Times, because I would like to let Jim May do this work. So I tried to find the NC Times this week's. I think that there should be an NC Times coming out yesterday or today. Yeah. I haven't been able to find it at the local places. The NC Times distribution oftentimes trickles out over a course of a few days or a few weeks. And so we're not able to do the comparison that you would like to see us do of, has anybody actually dropped an ad from the NC Times? My guess is that nobody's going to drop an ad. This is where I'm putting my money, is that nobody's going to drop an ad from the NC Times. We'll see. However, Jim May, who has been in recent months their most prolific, probably their most prolific contributor, at least their most prolific new contributor, at least the most prolific contributor whose stuff is like John Lofredo always writes stuff, but I can never figure out if he's just writing the same thing over and over, because it's all just kind of like children should learn to read. Whereas Jim is sort of has had cover stories and is
right.
sort of...
Well, and he's been doing like serial work and whatnot, where, you know, everything is kind of connected, and he's trying to tell a story,
yeah.
which is pretty cool. I mean, yeah. the last time I think they did that was going back with the history... I can't remember who wrote it, but it was like a history of the mob in Worcester.
Steve Marr.
And it wasn't actually, you know, I mean... A lot of that stuff is hard to pin down for in terms of like facts historically, because it's all stuff that's passed along word of mouth. But I mean, that story was great. I mean, it actually matched up pretty well with a lot of us who are lifers here from like our grandparents in terms of the way the city used to actually work. And it was nice to see that story go into print. I think Jim was doing something well too. It was taking yeah. something that was more less objective and less concrete and wrapping it up into a nice package.
So anyway, so based on stuff that Jim has posted to Facebook, which, as you know, listener, is not as private as you think, because I'm not Jim May's Facebook friend, and I can read a lot of stuff on Facebook. He's no longer a contributor to the NC Times. It's done. He's also posted things to blogs that hinted at this, but this Facebook thing is pretty straightforward and direct. I don't know what else to say about the NC Times. I mean, we'll find out.
I have a question.
We'll find out. You know,
Will Abby Hoffman's brother, would it be more or less radical for him to stay? Would staying or leaving be more radical?
I don't think it's either one is a radical position. I don't, you know what I'm saying? I don't know.
I don't. I want you to clarify.
I think the NC Times, you know, as far as being radical goes, the NC Times is done. It may have its purposes, but you're not going to get any cred from, you know, one of my favorite quotes ever is from this guy's, I may be able to find the quote and put it on the show notes, a guy's history of alternative journalism in the United States. And he said that sort of at the high water mark of alternative journalism, like maybe in the 60s, an alternative paper was one which it was no more prestigious for you to write for it than to be seen reading it. And that's the NC Times. But I feel like that, you know, that's nothing that's going to, you know, it's no more radical for you to write for the NC Times than for you to say, I have read the NC Times.
This is true.
That's my feeling on this. Do we want to talk about this thing with Putnam Lane and CSX? We have a few minutes left. This is like the thing. There's nothing to talk about, though. I mean, people have been saying, I don't know. Jordan Levy said that Counselor Palpatine is acting like a bully on this thing of trying to get the train yard to not expand or something because they're going to close some road.
I have a really, really hard time coming to terms with my own thoughts on this one, because I'm a firm believer that the whole point of government is to like protect like the people who aren't like able to protect themselves, right? The little guy, and in this case, that would be the Putnam Lane folks. Like, you know, the 2,000 people who travel Putnam Lane, as opposed to the 20,000 rail commuters who could be affected by this deal. But at the same time, it's like I still can't wrap my head around what it is that they're complaining about. It's not as though we're proposing anyone who uses Putnam Lane is going to have like the boot put on their car, and we're going to build a giant brick wall at the end of their driveway and keep them from moving. We're just saying you're going to have to move in a slightly different direction, which happens all the time. I mean, like, there's going to come a time in all of our lives where a road that we use is going to change, and that's okay. It just means we're going to have to find a new way to get where we were going, and that's part of life. That's like part of travel. Sometimes earthquakes happen and roads go away, right? I mean, this case, it's a big company is coming in and a road's going to go away. I still haven't seen the actual point, other than inconvenience. Is really what it comes down to. And that makes me kind of sad that we're spending a lot of time in Worcester possibly making Fragile a very, very big business deal over an inconvenience.
Well, there you go.
That's all.
I really don't have any opinion either way.
But you don't drive.
I don't, you know what? I don't drive and I don't drive on Putnam Lane. So
you go walk Putnam Lane and then tell me how you feel.
All right. Next week we'll do a show coming up on Putnam Lane. It's a beautiful day, beautiful weekend.
Do you have any ideas how this boulder got cut in half?
Let us know. Enjoy, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I hope we still see you on the show next week. You can forgive us this one, right? Bye, guys.
Someone's calling it an air raid.